Welcome to Charis Daily Live Bible Study. Join believers from around the globe to study the Bible with Andrew Womack and instructors from Charis Bible College.
Hello and good evening. I want to welcome you to Charis Daily Live Bible Study. My name is Jeleanne Harris and I'm an employee of Charis Bible College. We are delighted that you've tuned in tonight. We're about to hear an amazing message from Barry Bennett. And so before we do that, I want you to know that we have prayer ministers available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if you're going through something right now, if you want direction towards the Word of God, towards supplemental teaching, do not hesitate. Give them a call at 719-635-1111. While you're on the phone with them, you can be a part of these live Bible studies by becoming a partner or just simply giving. You guys, there's a supernatural blessing that comes with being a partner of this ministry, and I would encourage you to do so. So there's a couple of ways you can give. You can go to awmi.net/give, or like I say, give our prayer ministry line a call at 719-635-1111. Also, we want you to interact with us. And so how can you do that? Well, first of all, you need to tune in while we're live. So let me go over the schedule in case you're unaware. On Mondays and Fridays, we have Bible study at 10 a.m. On Tuesdays and Thursdays is at 6 p.m. And Wednesday morning is at 7 a.m. And that is all mountain time. So please calculate that out wherever you may be watching from all over the world and tune in while we're live. Now, when you tune in while we're live, I want you to interact with us. So that would be in whatever forum you're watching, you're gonna go down to the chat section. And as questions enter into your heart, you're gonna type those questions in. And then the last 10 to 15 minutes of the program, we are going to get to as many of those questions as we possibly can. So those are my announcements that I do every time I host. And now I get to introduce you to our speaker, who is Barry Bennett. And Barry Bennett is, one of the favorites, if not the favorite, instructor at Charis Bible College. I know he was for me when I was in school. And his official title now is Senior Instructor. And he's an amazing man of the Word. If you've never listened, I would encourage you to set all distractions down, get ready for the Word of God. And if you have listened, I know you're already setting all your distractions down so you can hear what Barry's about to bring us. So, Barry, we're ready.
Thank you, Julia.
Yes,
it's good
absolutely.
To be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you.
Enjoy this, and even though it's approaching my bedtime, I'll do the best I can.
I know, you and me both. We'll get through it.
All right. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all of you that are watching. It's great to be with you, and I really hope to be a blessing to you tonight. I want to do a couple of things. We're going to go to Psalm 37, if you have a Bible and you want to turn there. And I want to, first of all, part of the primary purpose of my lesson tonight is to encourage you in the Lord. And then the secondary purpose is to show you how, one of the ways I study the Word and how I meditate in the Word. And so we're going to do both of those things tonight, hopefully at the same time. And I want to just get you encouraged. I know a lot of people, I get letters from a lot of people, I speak to a lot of students, I am around people quite a bit. And a lot of them have the same questions. When I talk about hearing God, for example, they will say, I don't know how to hear God. What do you mean by hearing God? Or if I talk about meditating in the Word, they'll say, I don't know how to meditate in the Word. What do you mean by that? And we could go down a list of very common questions. And so I want to hopefully bring some light into those two areas as we go through this tonight. And I was meditating in the Word recently. I mean, I've been on this Psalm over the years many times, but I was back into Psalm 37 recently. And I thought, you know, this would be good to share just as an encouraging word for people. And at the same time, hopefully helping people learn perhaps some steps to help them in their own personal meditation and study of the Word. And so I want to start in verse 3, Psalm 37, verse 3. The whole psalm is amazing. I don't have time for all of it, but I'm going to take two sections of verses here and we'll look at them. So Psalm 37, verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Mm-hmm. All right, so what I was doing when I was reading, and I'll be honest, I was in bed with my iPad, and I'm just reading this psalm. I woke up early one morning and reading this psalm, And I just started highlighting different things and noticing different things. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go look at the verbs. I'm going to look at the action words. And so what I did was I went back and I underlined all the action words. And so let's do that together. It says trust in the Lord. And so we're going to look at what that means. But trust is the first action word. And then it goes on and says do good, or doing good is an action statement. And then it goes on to say dwell in the land. What does that mean? Dwell in the land. And then it goes on to say feed on his faithfulness. Now this is New King James. Others say that he will faithfully feed you or what have you, but I like this version. Feed on his faithfulness. It really resounds with me in my spirit. And then it goes on to say delight yourself also in the Lord. So delight is an action word. And then it goes on to say, he shall give you the desires of your heart, which the implication is you have desires. So there's a desire action going on. Mm-hmm. And then he finishes up with commit your way to the Lord. And then he ends with the same beginning, trust. Mm-hmm. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. And so when we read the whole thing, and let me read it again. I have the verse guy getting worn out back here, but that's all right. Yeah. So let's read it all again so we don't get it too chopped up. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Amen. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So as a word of encouragement, David is someone who was a man after God's own heart. And we know that he had a very intimate relationship, though he was not a perfect man. He made some very grievous errors, big mistakes, and yet he was able to continually return to the Lord and return to the Lord with a sincere heart. And he is writing these things under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he's wanting to encourage people. He's probably encouraging himself and the Lord as he writes, and it encourages me as I read. And what I'm seeing is the goodness of God and the desire of God to bless us. And a lot of Christians, those two things don't make a lot of sense to them because religion has stolen the sweetness of our fellowship with God. Mm. And we see God as a harsh taskmaster, God who is looking for reasons to punish us or what have you. And there's all kinds of different theological perceptions of God. But what David is revealing to us, and what all through Scripture, if you begin to see this, you begin to look for this, we're seeing the goodness of God, that he wants to bless his children. That's his heart. Just like I want to bless my children, I want to bless my grandchildren. I would never wish them harm. And so we have this aspect of understanding what is God's heart toward his children. Amen. And again, he says, well, let's go through the words now. I could keep reading it over and over and over. But let's look at the first action word is trust. Trust means secure confidence. And if you have to have secure confidence, or what would we be confident in? And that's where I would put in the concept of his goodness. Mm-hmm. It's hard to be confident in someone you don't trust that they are good. And so we want to be confident in his goodness. How good is God? I did a message recently at a local church, a few months ago, on the goodness of God. And I just feel like I barely touched the surface of that. What a powerful, huge topic of how good God is. And yet some Christians don't have even this most basic concept of God is good. They feel that God is a God of rules, a God of if you do it wrong, he's going to mess with you, he's going to get you, that kind of thing. And they don't see God is super good. And so when it says trust, it's not a clinical, principled step one, step two, step three to trust God. No, it's a fellowship with him in the sense of his goodness, in the sense of how much he loves us. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. And so when we're talking about trust, I think we're talking about in his goodness. Let me read a verse to you from Romans 2:4, and we'll come back to Psalm 37. But Romans 2:4 says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering? There it says, the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Or the goodness of God, as you get a revelation, as you trust in his goodness, it leads you to a place of changing your mind about God. Repentance in its most basic form is a change of mind, but it's also a change of heart and a change of action. But we won't go on down that road right now. But just understanding how good God is going to bring you to a place of trust. You're going to be established in trust. You will not be shaken. You will not fear. You will be in trust of God because you understand His goodness. This is so powerful.
Amen.
And then David goes on to say, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. Do good. Sounds pretty basic.
Yeah,
but you know, when you understand how much God loves you, it's so much easier to do good and to love other people.
Amen.
It's the natural outflow. When you don't have confidence, when you don't trust in His goodness, it's very difficult to be good to other people, to have that love flowing out of you toward other people. That's going to be complicated because you yourself have not yet experienced it. Mm-hmm. So when he says do good, it means, and I'm looking up the Hebrew words here, it says do good things, bless people, be a benefit to others, be a benefit to them. Do good things to other people, bless other people, because the love of God is just going to, it needs a place to go. We'll put it that way. If the love of God has filled your heart, and if you have a revelation of His goodness, it needs a place to go. And you don't have to force it. It just simply begins to come out of you. I want to bless you. I want to give to you. I want to do that. I want to pray for you. What can I do to help you? All of those kinds of things are just going to be a natural, if you will, outflow of the love of God, of the goodness of God that you're trusting in. And then he says, dwell. Dwell in the land. Dwell is an interesting word. Dwell means to abide or to reside or to be established.
Mm.
Let's go with established for right now. Be established in the land or be established in that fellowship, that place of rest in God. Be established right there. It says in Psalm 91, same word, he who dwells, we won't look it up right now, but at the beginning of Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And then it goes on to share all of these promises. But it's talking about dwelling or being established or abiding in this place of fellowship, this place of confident trust in God. It doesn't say he who visits on Sundays. It says he who dwells, he who abides, he who is established in the land, in the good things of God, in the fellowship of God. That's where all these promises come to pass. It's not just repeating Psalm 91 or repeating some other promise. That's not the key here. The key is, are you in fellowship? Do you trust in His goodness? Yeah. Do you have a revelation of His goodness, of His love for you? These are the things that are going to keep you established, that you might dwell in the land, that you might live there. It's not a place we come and go, and yeah, I did I read my chapter today, and I spent 5 minutes praying, and now the rest of the day is mine, and I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't live that way.
No.
My mind is continually on the things of God. Even when I'm doing other things, I'm very sensitive to the Lord revealing a scripture to me, speaking to me about something, giving me an example for a message, or giving me a message, no matter what I'm doing. I'm just always attentive to the things of God because that's where I get fed. I get fed on the Word, so I'm attentive to the Word. I'm tuned in to the Word.
Amen.
All right, then it goes on to say, feed on His faithfulness. And I don't think I've understood the depths of this yet, but I love it. To feed, we can see an animal feeding, if you will, and they know where to go. They know where the food is. They know if it's being passed out by the farmer from a truck. They know when, and they see the truck. They run to it. If we're talking about cattle or whatever we're talking about, if you begin to prepare a dog's food, the dog can be sound asleep.
It's and so true.
You begin to open the can or open the package or whatever you have, and boy, that dog is on his way.
Yeah.
And because he's about to feed, and it's exciting. And our relationship, our fellowship with God should be exciting, and we should be able to say that we feed on His faithfulness. We trust in His goodness, and that sustains us. In spite of circumstances, everything I'm talking about right now is not circumstantial. It doesn't depend upon circumstances. It doesn't depend upon relationships. It doesn't depend upon anything other than that God is your source. And you have a relationship with Him, a fellowship with Him that is based on His goodness, His love. You're dwelling in that mentally and spiritually. You may have a lot of things going on. I'm not talking about being a monk in a monastery. I'm talking about in your heart, in your spirit, man. You can dwell in that place and you can feed on His faithfulness, or in other words, it can sustain you. It can feed you. You can have an image of God, of being a continual yes and amen.
Amen.
He is a continual yes and amen for all of His promises. He is the pressed down, shaken together, running over God. He is the exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think God.
Hallelujah.
And you feed on that, and you know that all of His promises are alive. His word is alive and active. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we feed on that, and we meditate on those things. That's what this means, to feed on His faithfulness. God will never let you down. You may let you down. I have let me down.
Amen.
But God never lets us down. His word is true. And then we could go off into that subject of feeding on His faithfulness is knowing that His word is true, no matter what you think or what you think you experienced, or maybe you think God didn't come through for you. No, God is true. Every man is a liar, but God is true. And if something didn't work, then it wasn't God who's at fault. We messed up somewhere.
Amen.
And we've got to be quick to raise our hand and say, yeah, I must have, because I know God doesn't mess up.
God
is faithful.
That's
we feed on His faithfulness.
Amen.
Amen. Okay.
Praise
I'm going to start preaching pretty soon.
I know. Bring it.
Okay. He goes on to say, we're looking at action words here. He goes on to say, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord.
Amen.
What does that mean? Delight yourself in the Lord. It sounds like a command to me. At the minimum, an exhortation. Delight yourself in the Lord. It says to be happy about, to make merry. To make merry, or to be joyful, we could say, or have a party in the sense of delight yourself in the Lord.
Amen.
Be joyful. Joy is a choice. Now, a lot of people don't believe me when I tell them this, but peace is a choice. Joy is a choice. And why do I say that? Because it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's in you.
Amen.
It's in you right now. You can choose peace. In fact, somebody recently told me that they woke up one morning and decided to choose peace.
Amen.
And it will change the day. It will change your life if you choose it all the time, daily or moment by moment. Sometimes we choose peace. You can choose joy.
Amen.
You can choose to be joyful. You can choose to, no matter what's going on around you, you can go into your secret place, so to speak, dwell in His faithfulness, count Him faithful, trust in His goodness. These are things that we need to stir ourselves up sometimes all day long. But once you get this thing going, it becomes your default condition. It's who you now are. It is a reality, a spiritual reality that will influence the circumstances around you. And many of those circumstances that look so horrible will change because the presence of God is in you and God is emanating from you. And you're not trying to tackle everything in your own strength with your own emotions. Mm. I hope I'm talking to someone out there. I believe I am.
You are.
Okay.
Amen.
It says in Nehemiah 8:10, they're commanding the people. They say, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. When he says, do not sorrow, and it's toward the end of that verse, do not sorrow is a command. You choose to be sorrowful. I mean, we can have a human emotion of an immediate grief, but then it's a choice whether you're going to stay there or not. Okay. You don't have to stay there. We can choose to be joyful. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When we run out of strength, Julianne, when we run out of endurance, when we run out of, I can't do this anymore, it's because the joy of the Lord wasn't our strength. We're trying to do it in our own strength.
So true.
But once we realize I have the Spirit of God in me, thus I have the joy of the Lord, I'm going to choose joy. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord.
Amen.
And he goes on to say, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Praise God.
Praise God.
And so, again, as I mentioned it in the beginning, this is implying that I am desiring something. If you're not desiring something, you need to wake up from whatever's going on. You need to be desiring the presence of God in your life. You need to be desiring a restored, perhaps, marriage. You need to be desiring your health. You need to be desiring prosperity. You need to be desiring a victorious, abundant life, the things that have been promised to us. What are the desires of your heart?
Amen.
Let's go back. He says, if you trust in the Lord, if you do good, if you dwell in His presence, we'll say, if you feed on His faithfulness, if you delight yourself in Him, bingo, He will give you the desires of your heart.
Amen.
So if your desires are not being fed or not being met, is the proper word, then we're not doing the first things I've mentioned, right?
Amen.
And so if I'm asking for a show of hands and I can't see you, so don't worry about it. Do you have desires that are unfulfilled? And everyone's going to raise their hand. Well, I'm showing you right now.
Amen.
I'm showing you right now how God fulfills your desires.
Praise God.
It's a relationship. It's a fellowship with Him that is daily, ongoing, Amen. In which we are completely consumed with knowing Him. And again, it's not that you're not busy. I'm busy. I have many things I'm doing all the time. That's not the point. The point is, in the midst of my busyness, I have chosen to continue resting in and fellowshipping with Him.
Amen.
And trusting Him.
Amen.
And good things happen. Good things happen. Okay?
Amen.
I'm not going to get done with all this. I need to keep going. Okay? It goes on to say, commit your way to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Commit your way. Commit the way of your life. Commit the direction of your life, the vision of your life. Commit it. And that word commit is very interesting. It means to roll away. To roll away, or to, in other words, to roll your life over onto the Lord, in a sense, is what this is saying. Commit your way to the Lord. Roll your life onto Him. You can't do it in your own strength. I know you've tried and you're burned out. Many of you have been burnt out on life, lost your hope, lost your vision, and that's because you didn't commit your way. You didn't roll it over onto Him. Mm. You tried to do it in your own strength. You can't do it in your own strength. No one can do it in their own strength, but we can do it by the grace of God.
Praise God.
And this isn't to put a guilt trip on anybody, believe me. Mm. This is to encourage you. Start now. Forget the past. Start now.
Praise God.
Start now.
Amen.
And it's start seeking after this relationship, this fellowship through the Word. Now, what I'm doing is I've just taken a few verses here, and I'm showing you how I squeeze them for what they're worth and get everything out of them I can, and there's always going to be more.
Yeah.
But I look these words up. I use the Blue Letter Bible, if anyone's interested, Blue Letter Bible app on my iPad, or you can go to a desktop computer and type in Blue Letter Bible and the website will come up. And I use that to study the Strong's Concordance of the Greek and the Hebrew. That's the Bible I use. I barely use a paper Bible anymore. I basically use my iPad because it's so packed with stuff. And so I go to that app or that website, and that's where I do my studying, and I look up these words, and I look up their meanings, and I think about it, and I write things down, anything that occurs to me or that I feel inspired by the Spirit, I write things down. And this can take time, but you need to make time for the things that are important, things that will give you life. We need to make time for these things.
Amen.
So He says He will give you the desires of your heart. And that word means your requests or your petitions or your desires. And so that's very, very correct translation right there. But what is it you desire? What is it that you wish you had that falls within the scope of God's goodness? And there's a lot of things that fall within the scope of His goodness that we are doing without because we're not trusting, we're not doing, we're not dwelling, we're not feeding. We're not delighting ourselves. We're not committing our way to the Lord. We're trying to get by with our own knowledge, our own logic, our own wisdom. We're trying to get by on our own. And then when in an emergency, we'll run to God, oh, God, help. And that's not the way this should work. And it's not going to work well like that. God will be merciful, but there is a better way. Amen.
Amen.
And then He ends up saying, trust again, and He shall bring it to pass. Trust also in Him. So trust to have confidence. Be confident. When you're at peace, it's because you have confidence. God is on my side. Amen. I will not fear what man can do to me. God is on my side. He is my source. He is He surrounds me. It says in Psalms 5:12, He surrounds me with favor as with a shield. And we could go over promise after promise, declaration after declaration. But trust in Him, trust in His goodness.
Praise God.
Talking about the desires, I have a couple other verses here. Jesus reiterates this in John chapter 16, verse 24. John chapter 16, verse 24, it says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. And so there's a new era entering when Jesus raises from the dead. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. God wants you to be full of joy. That is your strength. And how is that accomplished? He says, you've asked nothing in my name, but now I want you to ask. Amen. I want you to ask and you will receive. And somebody will say, well, I've asked and I didn't receive. You weren't doing this other stuff. In other words, you can't camp out now and then.
Amen.
You can't visit. You've got to dwell.
That's it.
You've got to dwell. You've got to feed. In other words, we make time for the people we love.
Mm-hmm.
When I was first dating my wife back in Bible college so long ago, there wasn't enough time. I made time. And when the time was up, it's like, no, I want more. I want more time with her. I want to spend time with her. That needs to be the characteristic of our relationship, our fellowship with God. I want more time. It's not, okay, I read my chapter and I prayed 2 minutes. Okay, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
No, that's, you're not feeding on his faithfulness yet. You're not trusting. You're not dwelling yet. And so when it comes to the promise part of it, you're not in the right place, because it's not real for you. It's not something you seek for with all your heart.
Amen.
And that's going to make all the difference.
Amen.
Once you begin to understand how rich it is to fellowship with God, what a privilege it is.
Amen.
And what the benefits are in terms of the favor of God, goodness and mercy following you, doors opening, blessings coming. When you begin to get a taste of that, you'll hunger and thirst for that. It'll be what you're after. And that's what I'm trying to encourage tonight in this little lesson. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me, there it is again, that dwelling. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, there again, the words can't just come and go. They've got to abide in you. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. You will ask what you desire. God, that's like a blank check.
Yeah.
He's giving us a blank check. He did that to Bartimaeus when blind Bartimaeus came up.
Yeah.
He called out to him and he said, he finally said, come to me. And he threw off his cloak and he ran to Jesus. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, whoa.
That's awesome,
just
right?
Wide open. Yeah. What do you want me to do for you? He says, Lord, that I can see. And I have a whole message on that, right? I can't do it right now, but it's wide open.
Yeah.
He wants to give you what you desire and it shall be done for you. And this is powerful.
Amen.
And I find that the answers to the questions you may be having, and there's many other places, but Psalm 37, 3-5 is powerful. All right. So do I have a few minutes still?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Let's go to Psalm 37, 7-9. Psalm 37, 7-9. Same psalm. I'm jumping down just at one verse, and we're going to pick it back up again. And I want to see some more action words and some more thoughts here. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. A lot of people are offended by what other people are doing.
Yeah.
Because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, he says again. It only causes harm, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Praise God. We're going to get the whole thing.
Amen.
That's a blessing.
Hallelujah.
But listen to this, because a lot of people lose their blessings because of some things that are mentioned here. They say, mm-hmm. or the psalmist David says, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Rest means to be silent, to be still. And again, it may not be your circumstances, but it can be your heart.
Yes.
You can have a quiet heart. You can be silent before God even while you're busy with things, but you can still be meditating in the things of God. Everything I'm sharing with you doesn't have to be done in a closet with the lights off and nobody around for 3 hours. This can happen while you're living if you make it your default fellowship position with God. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Wait in this verse means to bear, to put up with, we'll say, or to bring forth. I like what it says, and I didn't prepare this, Isaiah 41, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That word wait is an interesting word. It means to bind together.
Hmm.
those that are bound together with the Lord shall renew their strength. When it says wait, it doesn't mean those that are on the couch eating chips.
Oh, bummer.
I'm sorry, Julianne. I just ruined your night.
I did.
But it means to be bound together, or in other words, it's going back to that concept of dwelling, abiding,
it's good.
Trusting in. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So this one says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret. Do not fret. That's a command. Mm-hmm. It's not a suggestion. It doesn't say do not fret if you can help it. It says do not fret. We choose the emotional state that we're going to be in.
Yeah.
We've gotten so accustomed to letting circumstances determine our emotions, and most people, even Christians, still live that way. But you can choose your emotional state because you can choose the spirit. Other carnal people that aren't born again, they don't have that option. We have that option.
Amen.
You can choose to not fret. You can choose to not worry. You can choose to not fear. You can choose to have peace. You can choose to be in joy. And people always don't like it when I say that. I just don't know what you're talking about. I can't because I have all these problems. They begin to rattle off all their problems. I have challenges too. I had a real big one here a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You're going to die in 2 days. Okay. I did not fret. I did not fear. I did not worry.
Amen.
All right. So you can choose your emotional state. And if you're established in these things, then you can quickly draw on the Spirit of God and not let the circumstances overwhelm you. So he says, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. That's a command.
Mm.
Who are you upset with? Who are you bitter about? Who are you in strife with? Who are you gossiping about?
Oh.
That's the ministry of the accuser of the brethren.
Yeah, it is.
I don't want to be part of that ministry. I want to be part of the intercessor. He ever lives to make intercession for us. That's the ministry I want to be a part of.
Amen.
So cease from anger. Cease from gossip. Cease from wrath. Forsake wrath, it says. Do not fret. It only causes harm. You're going to suffer consequences for being always agitated, in strife, bitter, upset, offended. There's no good result for any of that. But so what we're looking at is it's in two parts, and I want to give time for some questions here. It's two parts. It is how we dwell in his presence, trust in his goodness, all of those positive things that we talked about, coupled with what we shouldn't be doing that's going to poke a hole in the boat. In other words, if you're in strife, if you're in wrath, if you're not resting, if you're not waiting patiently on him, if you're just always about activities and being busy and being all of this stuff, and there's no rest in your heart, there's no peace in your heart, and you're angry with others, then the first part of what I shared in the first few verses, that's not going to be your reality.
Mm-mm.
And what my encouragement is to you, listen to this. You might want to replay this and listen to it, jot these verses down, jot some notes down, and make a decision. You can start right now. Forget yesterday. Start today. Start right now. Getting into the presence of God, dwelling in his land, feeding on his faithfulness, appreciating his never-ending goodness for your life. Stop being bitter. Stop being angry with other things, other people. Stop being jealous of other people. Just stop it and choose the peace of God. Choose the joy of the Lord and begin to prosper. Amen.
Amen. Man, that's powerful. I'm going to watch it a few times again because there's so much to it, and it's 100% truth. So thank you guys for submitting your questions. Please continue to do so, and we're going to throw all the really hard ones at
the easy ones.
Okay, so let's get started. So Saw on YouTube says, how do I feed in the Word of God and His faithfulness when I barely get any time to spend with him as I am at work and I live with an unbelieving family? Any suggestion?
Those are excuses. They don't fly. You can take one verse with you, write it on a card, put it in your pocket, go to work, look at it several times during the day, meditate on it. You can do that while you're working.
Yeah, you can
go home and do the same thing. You can also take 5 minutes. You get home from work, you change clothes, whatever, sit down for 5 minutes, open your Bible, same thing.
Amen.
Anything is possible. It's what is most important to you. What do you value? And if you value your time with God, you'll make time for God.
Man, that's powerful. I remember in Bible school, you were talking about how Like if you had a doctor's appointment, we make time for a doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
We schedule it ahead of time. We plan on it on this day. Sometimes there's routine doctor's appointments, but yet we just can't seem to find time to spend with the creator of the
universe. We'll find time for whatever excites us.
That's it.
And I do this in class. I tell the students, if I ask someone in here to come help me paint my fence this weekend, then it's a long fence. I might get one hand to go up. Mm-hmm. But if I said, I'll give $1,000 to anybody that will come and help me paint my fence this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a lot. All of a sudden, there is value. Value has been established. There's excitement. $1,000 to help paint a fence? Yeah, I'm there. But this says, he will give you the desires of your heart if you will dwell in his presence and feed on his faithfulness. He wants to give you his desires, that your joy may be made full. Does that have value to you? And if it does, then what I've been sharing tonight will become your new you. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. So Tiffany on YouTube says, how do we choose joy when our mind is constantly racing about all the what ifs? I try to choose joy, but my mind constantly circles the what ifs and the possible negative outcomes.
Well, I'm sorry, what was her name?
Tiffany.
Tiffany. Mm-hmm. Hi, Tiffany. Thanks for your question. We have sovereign control over our minds. You're the only one that can choose what you think about. You're the only one that can choose how long you think about it. You're the only one that can allow it to impact you negatively or to get rid of that thought. That's all up to you. And so taking control of your mind, that wasn't my topic tonight, but we're exhorted in Romans 12:2 to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Amen. We're told in 2 Corinthians 4, I believe, that we are to take every thought captive, tear down all the strongholds. And then in Philippians 4:8, we're told what to think about. And so we have got to make those are action words, if you will, same kind of thing. There are things that we need to do to renew our minds, to take control of our thoughts, to get rid of negative thoughts. But it's up to you. I can't do that for you, but you can do that for you and win that war in your mind, and then you can choose joy. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Jennifer on chat says, is there a specific scripture we can say out loud when we wake up in the morning to start the day with a focus on the Lord?
There are thousands of them. I would suggest, and what I'm doing is I am going through the book of Psalms for the umpteenth time, I don't know, but I'm going through and looking for revelations of God's goodness or declarations of his goodness or promises or anything that blesses me.
Amen.
I highlight it in my iPad, and then I go through and I reread those highlighted parts over and over and over.
Amen.
And within that, in just the book of Psalms, there are so many verses that you're talking about, those kinds of verses. You can find them in the epistles. You can find them in the gospels, the words of Jesus. They're everywhere. And so I'm not going to pick one out for you. That should be your homework. Amen. And but I would say what I'm doing right now is the book of Psalms, highlighting things and just meditating and doing what I just did for you here, just taking it apart word by word or phrase by phrase. And then I think about it, pray about it. And I feed on it.
Amen. Can I share something on that?
Absolutely.
You know, when you have a really tight, busy schedule and you have like a really long day scheduled, and I had a lot of those, and I was getting into this routine of I would wake up in the morning, and before really getting conscious, I would look at my calendar to see what was my day going to be like, right? And so I would look at this long day, and I would think, oh, if I can just make it till 7 o'clock tonight. Then I'll be okay, right? And so we can get into this cycle. And one day I looked at my clock or at my calendar and I was like, God, how am I gonna get through the day? And it was as clear as day. He said, however you decide to.
There you go, very good.
And I was like, huh, okay. So it woke me up to the fact that I was already like almost in a way cursing my day just by doing that. So you know what I do now? I wake up and I have a conversation with the Lord. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter if I'm tired. I wake up and I say, God, today's going to be an awesome day.
Amen.
And it just starts out that way, and away you run. Praise
there you
God.
Go. That's great. I'm glad you shared that.
So Zamaya on YouTube says, in the times we may be unfaithful to God, does that in any way alter or change his faithfulness towards us?
No, Zamaya. No, God is faithful. God is eternal. God is always yes and amen. God is always on the throne of grace and mercy waiting for you to come to him.
Amen.
There is nothing that is going to keep God from loving you, from wanting to bless you, from wanting to release all of his goodness in your life. That is a constant. Mm-hmm. It's not a variable. With him, there is no variation, it says in James 1:13, nor shadow of turning. He is constantly in your corner for you, wanting you to bless him. Yesterday is past. Go before him, receive mercy and help in time of need, and then move on with your life in him. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Catherine on chat says, if you've grown weary waiting, and then it says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, how do you get the strength to wait on the Lord in that situation again?
Well, that's a great question. I know a lot of people are waiting, and it's by faith and patience that we inherit the promises. Patience is also, or long suffering it's called, in the fruit of the Spirit. We also have access to that. I had to have patience in my recent healing journey. I did not enjoy it. There were cranky days. I went through all the different human emotions, but I never lost my peace. Never lost my peace. And so I think that was a real key to my victory. I was patient. I knew I was coming through it. I knew I was coming out of it. I knew what was coming. I projected the future. I've talked about these things many times in other messages. And so I know what you're talking about, but choose peace, choose patience or long suffering, the fruit of the Spirit. You have it. You're equipped. And see the future. That was key for me.
Yeah.
Don't just keep looking at the present. Project into the victorious future of whatever this is you're waiting for. Project into the victorious future and just believe that you receive.
Amen. Praise God. Like Jesus saw the joy that was set before him.
Very good. Boy,
Amen.
You should be teaching this. This is good.
No, I just am.
Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 too, yeah.
Exactly. This is so good. So Gay on Facebook says, how does ask and you shall receive go with patiently wait upon the Lord? Does it mean to rest in faith?
There's no contradiction whatsoever.
No.
Yes, it means to rest in faith. It means to, having done all, stand.
Amen.
It means to endure. It's all of these things that go into it. Not every harvest is immediate. How many seeds do you plant that the next day you harvest the crop? None. It's weeks, in some cases, months. Sometimes we have miracle results. I've had miracles. Instantaneous situations, praise God for that. Other times I've had to wait upon the Lord. And I eventually harvested what it was that God had shown me in my heart, but it took time. And so we have to be ready for either scenario, but we don't lose heart because we trust in him. We feed on his faithfulness. God is not the problem. Other things may be the problem, perhaps my heart, perhaps people's opposition, perhaps the weather, who knows, the economy, there may be some other opposition in there. But God is my source and he will overcome all that opposition if I stay feeding on his faithfulness.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Okay, so we got time for another question. Liz on YouTube says, God says he will grant the desires of our hearts. I've always understood that this means God will make his desires my desires. So my desire is to get married, she says. How do I know that this is God's desire for me?
Well, just, Andrew teaches that as well, that God will create the desires of your heart, and I certainly don't disagree. I agree with that. I just feel that the desires I have come from many years in the Word and knowing what God has promised, so those are my desires. I lost the question.
So her desire is to be married. So how does she know that this is God's desire?
Well, first of all, God designed that from the very beginning. So I would say the default position for all men and women to begin with is to be married. There are some that are gifted to be single. Paul talks about that. But that would be the minority. So I would say you're in the right ballpark if you want to be married. Then it's just a matter of you being someone that someone else wants to marry. In other words...
What?
Be complete in yourself. Don't be out desperately Amen. Looking for someone. Have a full relationship with God in which you are happy and joyful. Joy is attractive. Okay, I'll just leave that there. But there are some things that are attractive that if you're not satisfied with who you are in the Lord, you're not going to be attractive. And so you want to be as attractive as you can be. And I'm not talking about the outside here. I'm talking about on the inside. The spiritual condition, your spiritual condition, is going to either repel or attract. And you want to have a wonderful relationship with the Lord, which is going to be an attraction to the right kind of person.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, we're coming down to an end. I got to as many questions as we could possibly get to today. And the ones that we didn't get to, you guys, it'll probably be Barry or one of our...
I'll try to do those on Tuesday. Some of you don't know, apparently, that we try to answer questions on Tuesday right here at 3 p.m. Mountain Time. And I get to as many as I can every Tuesday. And I know that some of you aren't watching because some of these questions are being repeated over and over again. So try to watch on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. and I'll try to get to them.
Amen. And that's on Facebook is where it's live. So what I would encourage you is if you're on Facebook, go there to Andrew Womack Ministries, like the page, and then you'll actually get a notification when it comes on. So you guys don't want to miss it. It's really powerful to watch the Q&A roundup.
Amen.
So thank you, Barry.
Thank you.
This was awesome. And we made it through at this late hour. And so you guys just have a good night. Don't forget that we have live Bible study tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. So have a great night. Have a great night, Barry.
Thank you. You too.
I will.
Okay.
And we'll see you next time.
God bless.
Next time. Bye.
Join us every weekday for our daily live stream on Gospel Truth TV.